Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned off the seatbelt sign and you are free to move around the cabin. I'd like to remind you though, for your safety, please keep your seatbelt fastened.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Tyler and Monique are siblings that both work for a major airline in Phoenix, Arizona. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel or things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to Non-Rev Lounge. Today's show, we have our dad on with us. My name is Tyler.
And I'm Monique. So we're really excited to have our dad on today. When we first proposed the idea of him coming on with us, he was like, no one wants to hear from me. But we were both like, no, like, you've been a lot of places. Like, you've got some good stories to tell. So we're excited that we finally roped him into doing it.
Yeah, we talked to him. There's a big list of places because I've been with the company for 13 years. And so he's had benefits for 13 years, plus some other trips. So our dad teaches AP biology at local high school. And until just a few years ago, he was one of the baseball coaches for the team. He was always my coach growing up. Most of the traveling I remember doing growing up was based around baseball.
I'd say even his family, those were like our trips. We're going with baseball trips.
There was the couple that we did. I mean, we did the Disneyland one, the trip to California growing up. But it seems like most of them were based around
baseball. Honestly, like, like going to like Burley, Idaho, or
they do baseball.
Yeah, they were baseball trips. They weren't as exciting.
Took you guys to like Yellowstone to Glacier.
That's true. We did do Yellowstone every year.
We went to Glacier too. You may not have.
No,
I remember taking Tyler there
when he was little. But yeah, you took Chelsea and I when we were a little bit older. Which that was a really fun trip.
Yeah, it's an awesome trip.
It was the same time we did like Great Falls where mom grew up and all that stuff too. Yeah. It was just kind of cool to see.
So you've been on our tickets. There has been a few times that you paid for tickets, but most time you non-rev. I know we talked and found out that you and our mom are going to Puerto Vallarta and you bought tickets down there. So there's
what? When are you guys doing that?
We're not telling you.
Oh, see, that's news to me.
You're not invited. That's why I said
I thought you knew.
No.
Mom bought a package from Costco.
Is that why she had to go to Costco today?
No.
Oh.
We bought like a week ago.
Oh, you did? Oh, fun. Okay, after you have to tell me where you're staying, because I've been there twice.
Yeah. They're taking our airline, but guaranteed seats.
We just thought travel this summer is going to be kind of like iffy, and we don't want to risk it.
Are you going in the summer?
Yep.
Oh, it's going to be humid and nasty, but you're going to have so much fun.
We're going to just take it easy, though.
Good.
Yeah, so we're excited to have you on. So welcome to the show, Dad.
Thanks.
All right, so let's do a few get to know you questions, Dad, okay. So everyone can kind of get to know you. What is a destination that you've traveled to that you could see yourself living after you retire?
Wow.
We'll say you, not mom, because you and mom probably have different opinions on where you could live.
The Costa Rica trip would be awesome. I don't know if we could live there, but it would be, it's a beautiful place.
There's a lot of Americans that go down there and live, isn't there? Yeah, so that's not too crazy.
Yeah, it's not a crazy idea. I know some that still want to go down there now and retire down there. That would be in my mind, but I'm not sure I'd do it.
Yeah.
Hawaii would. Particularly the Big Island.
Yeah, I like
it's
that
just,
idea.
It's just kind of, it's calmer. It's not as crowded. Not as many people there. And that's what I want.
We support you moving to there.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
If I go there, it's going to be like a one-bedroom condo.
That's what you always say. But that's, I was like, well, can you get one at least a backyard? Somewhere I could pitch a tent.
You get a nice couch. Would you prefer have one of your kids, because we work at the same airline, one of them work for another airline like Delta, so you can have both benefits? Or would you rather have one of your kids work for a major hotel chain?
I don't know. It's probably a hotel chain because the benefits we have are really pretty good. You can go most anywhere you want.
Yeah.
Whenever you want, too.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But with a hub here for Delta,
that being Delta right here would be kind of nice, just simply because you can go from here on a one shot anywhere you want to go pretty well.
Yeah, because they even have a few international, like European destinations out of Salt Lake. At least Delta does. Yeah. So for them, that would be kind of sweet to have.
Yeah.
But also when Chelsea was working for Marriott, I thought that was a pretty sweet setup for all of us.
Yeah, we got to stay at that Marriott down on Miami Beach. It was really a nice place, real cheap.
It's funny because we all used her benefits more than she did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah. Like when we went to San Antonio, I think your family used them. I used them there, like, and right down by the Riverwalks. And we got a good price for them. All right. Would you rather go on a big family trip with all the kids and grandkids to Hawaii or just you and mom go to New Orleans?
Probably take the whole family to Hawaii.
Oh, really?
I'd like to see New Orleans, but I'd like to go there. I haven't never been to New Orleans, but I'd like to go there. But I don't. Taking the whole family, we've decided that taking the whole family on a trip is different than just going with your spouse.
Oh, I would think
in a good way or a bad way.
It's just different.
Yeah.
You can't compare them, I don't think, because some people always try to compare them, and you can't. Taking the whole family, hell, it's chaos, but it's still a lot of fun being there with all the kids and the grandkids. But it's also great to have some time alone, just, you know, just to chill and not have any hassles or anything, and not have to worry about, is everybody happy? Has everybody got food? Has everybody got a place to sleep?
And nap times.
Yeah. You don't have to worry, when you don't have to worry about that, it's a different thing.
Well, I was just thinking, even as an adult, I'm like, well, when is my nap time? So, but you're not dealing with five little kids' nap times. So it's just your nap time.
Yeah. So both types of trips are really good, but you just can't compare them.
So what I'm also taking from is you have your Port of Arthur with just mom coming up. When's our big family trip to Hawaii?
We will see.
So you can't compare them, so let's do it.
Do you remember when we were young and you and mom went to Hawaii? And I remember you told us, you said, if we enjoy it, we'll take you. And then you never did. Of course, you loved it until eventually I got the benefits and we kind of all said, okay, we're going. Let's just do this. So yeah, I remember you saying, if we enjoy it, we'll take you.
It's the only way we get out of it. It's not taking the first time.
Yeah. Well, they did go to Oahu, so maybe they didn't love it as much.
They went to Maui, part of it, though.
We spent one day at Maui.
Oh, did you?
So. But the people we went with didn't really like it. It was too much driving. We started on the road to Hana, and they didn't like that.
That's my favorite part, so that's crazy.
Mine, too. They didn't like it. So it's kind of, we didn't really get a chance to enjoy Maui that day.
I could see that, yeah. If you're with someone who's not enjoying it, it's harder to.
Yeah.
That's busy, too. Like, getting over there.
Yeah. So we had to get a flight over there and
get a car, then
get a
probably
car and then go, and then get another flight back. You said,
That is a big day. Because even if you're already on the island, getting up and doing the road to Hana is a full day. But if you have to fly there and fly back.
Do you have any trips to Non-Rev where you regretted it and you wish you had just bought a ticket, a guaranteed seat?
Sometimes you wonder when you're there.
Yeah.
When you do, but if you're just, if you plan the trip to where you're flexible enough, it's just like, well, if we got hung out here, so what?
Do you have one, Monique?
I don't think so. Because I think it, in the end, it always works out. Yeah. So I'm like, well, you know what, then.
If you hung out a day, you know, it's like, so what?
Also, too, by the time that I think about buying a ticket, it's usually like $600. And I'm like, well, I can't afford that. So no, I don't want to buy a ticket.
There's one time I regretted it when I bought a ticket. When I flew up to Kalispell to meet with you guys to go to Canada. And it was over the 4th of July weekend. So I was like, I better have this. And then I had a seat open next to me. And the whole time I was like, I could have been sitting in that seat for.
Oh, so yours was like the reverse, you'd bought a seat and you were wishing you hadn't.
Could have been the opposite.
So what are some of your bucket list places to travel?
Chile. I want to see Chile, the mountains and that, especially in the southern Chile.
Oh, it's so beautiful down there. It really is. It's so pretty.
I want to go there. Other places, I would like to go to like Southeast Asia area. I've never been that way at all.
And so even for those of us who don't know, like Southeast Asia is where?
It'd be like Thailand.
Oh, Thailand. Okay.
That kind of area. All those little countries down there. I've just never been to them. I don't know that. I'd like to go there. I'd like to go to Australia, New Zealand. I'd like to go a lot of places.
Yeah.
I want to go to Africa.
Let's get a map. Yeah.
No, really. I'd love to go see places.
Yeah.
Well, that's I think when we said ours at the very beginning, Monique had said, which was something used to Thailand. And I think I said New Zealand, which is because of our family history in New Zealand. That's something I've always wanted to do. So I'm hoping airline that opens up and that's something we can do soon.
I'd love to do more in Europe too. I haven't been to anywhere in Europe.
But good thing you're close to retirement, Dad, because you got a lot of places to go see.
I know. That's what I want to do. So you guys got to keep working with these airlines.
At least one of us. Last one. Would you rather have box seats to a World Series Game 7 at any stadium that you choose, or 3 days on a completely empty beach at St. John?
I'll take the box seats.
Really? And you love St. John's?
Yeah. But the thing is, that's a once-in-a-lifetime chance. St. John's, I can go there most anytime I want.
Yeah.
So what if it's the Dodgers-Yankees playing in the World Series?
I'd go to St. John's.
Then that was pretty quick.
Especially if it's a Yankee stadium.
Because it'd be like the new Yankee Stadium. It's not even old Yankee Stadium.
It'd be cool to see the stadium, but no, it depends on who the team's really at the time. I'm more of a player fan than I am a team fan. You know, if they got some really good players I want to see, then I'd want to go see the game.
You just want good baseball.
Yeah.
That was always the phrase we heard growing up.
Yeah. So do you have a stadium that you would want to go see? There's some famous ones.
If I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Fenway.
That's what I want to go there too sometimes. Yeah, so Fenway just go see awesome. The game there would be.
I'd love to go see how many I could go to though.
So don't judge me. That's Boston, right?
Boston, yeah.
Is it the Green Giant? Is that what, or is that something different? Is Fenway, don't they have like the big green wall in the back?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's left field. So, you know, you know your baseball parks.
Did they tear down the Cubs one?
No, that one's still playing.
Wrigley Field? Wrigley's another one I'd like to go to.
That's a pretty famous one.
It's so historic. Have the IV on the outfield.
It's got IV on that. Does that affect when they play outfield at all, when they try to catch the ball?
They keep it trimmed up really nice where the ball comes right out.
Oh, do they?
It might get caught in there once in a while, but it's cool.
The first of the year, it's just like roots, right? Because it's all the growing branches. So right now, like early in the spring, it's
Oh, interesting. So you'd want to go like summertime when it's all nice and full and you can get that feel of it. Cool.
Just the atmosphere at Wrigley's probably really pretty cool too.
Yeah, it'd be fun there. It's really small. It probably feels like a minor league stadium.
Oh, is it pretty small?
Isn't it? It's not a big...
I don't know how big it is.
I'm sure they added to it, but
it's not as big as a lot of them, but it's...
Those ones that built that long ago.
When you go to a game though, you go for the atmosphere. You don't really get to see the game. You're so far away.
All right. So let's talk about England a little bit. Okay. When you were younger, you lived there for 2 years doing some missionary work. When you flew there back there, you were 19 years old. That was your very first flight, you were saying.
It was.
So when you tell us a little bit about that, what do you remember from your first flight and what airlines and stuff?
I remember a little bit. I flew out of Salt Lake on a 727. That was the first flight I'd been on. And it was really kind of a unique experience because I've never done it before. We flew into Chicago. And I don't remember what we flew there from Chicago, went into O'Hara, and then to Boston.
Yeah.
Because we like jumped every city, I think. And then we got on a 747 on Pan Am to Heathrow. And that Pan Am was empty. I remember that. That big 747, there was like probably no more than 30, 40, 50 people on the whole plane.
That's crazy.
And we just laid, put all the armrests up and laid down in the middle and slept all the way over. Still tired when we got there.
Yeah. Well, that was your first lay flat experience then.
It was a lay flat experience. The flight attendants all came, you guys can go lay down in the middle if you want. So we all lay down in the middle.
Well, I'm pretty sure even in the front, they didn't have lay flat because back then it was.
Oh, so, was it, what is it? It wasn't a pod experience, yeah, but it was a lay flat experience.
This was in the 70s though too. So that's a long time ago.
So yeah. Were you in the smoking section then?
I have no idea.
Oh, it's going with
30
there
were
people.
Smoking sections, I think, at that time though.
Probably,
I think people could smoke on the planes. I think they could, but I don't remember for sure. Yeah, it's kind of crazy they did that.
So you and Monique went back to London a couple of years ago when our airline gave everyone 2 free guaranteed seats. What were your thoughts getting to London after, how long had it been that you were away?
Almost 40 years.
So 40 years, how much had changed? I'm sure some things didn't change at all. And
the flight over was a lot nicer. We did lay flat seats out of Dallas and flew right into Heathrow. That was... that made it so worthwhile because when you landed there, you were fresh. You weren't like, it didn't have the jet lag because you got to be able to have a good sleep on the way over. And I mean, when we landed in Heathrow, we was ready to go. Where I didn't feel tired at all. We spent the whole day. We went down to Stonehenge and...
Yeah,
and
then Salisbury. Went to Salisbury that day too.
Salisbury Cathedral and Stonehenge.
I found out I knew you guys got those seats and then I wanted to talk to you because I wanted to know not as much about what England was like, but... How was your flight? How did you like that experience? Because we would have both had it, Monique and I. And I think Mom has flown before, right? With the lay flat with you.
I think she didn't lay flat. Yeah, just domestic. But yeah.
I wanted to know what you thought of it, just being so different than.
Well, it's completely different. A whole different world. You know, you're not crammed in there. You're not chewing on your knees. And you got really plans to stretch out and enjoy the ride.
And it feels like you went by quicker than you would have expected.
Oh, yeah.
It
was a 10-hour flight. It seemed like we're there for 2 or 3 hours.
Well, and I was more than happy to let you guys use my tickets because I knew that you guys are a little more stressors than I am. So it was nice for me to be able to let you guys use those confirmed passes, know you were guaranteed on and
that's
got you guys ones that, yeah, that knew was awesome. Most likely going to get the upgrade. Because Shomoy and I, we went through Miami and to make sure we were going to get up front, we sat in Miami for 12 hours. Well, I mean, and we didn't have club passes at the time. So we like just literally just took turns taking naps on the floor. We probably looked homeless because it was like 12 in the afternoon and we were just sprawled out on the floor all taking naps. But
it was worth it though.
Once we got there, it was totally worth it. Yeah.
Once you get those seats and it's like you said, when you land and then you've been able to rest, even though you don't sleep the whole time, you're better than being that tough, like
your
seat.
Muscles aren't all cramped up and tight and sore and stiff and you're not ornery because somebody's been kicking your back of your chair the whole way.
But then it makes you kind of a, like us, kind of a snob, like
now you're like, oh no, I can't go back to
there's not seats there.
I
had a friend that he worked for SkyWest and so he flew Delta a lot. He would be planning to go to Paris and if there was seats in first class he would do it, if not he'd be like, oh, not a big deal, just don't go. But he was kind of the,
and now do you get it?
Yeah, but that was before. Yeah, I had benefits, but now it's like, yeah, I can understand.
I can do that.
You'd be like, well, then I'll just go visit my friend in Houston or whatever. Then you're like, if I can't get a Paris, we'll just plan a different one.
There's nothing wrong with that.
When you got to go back this time, you got to do more touristy stuff with us.
Yeah.
What kind of things had changed? Did you notice, or what did you really enjoy going back and doing?
Just to go there, I enjoy just being there and to see the country again and to talk with the people and that, to see where I've been, years ago. But how it had really changed, it's much more westernized now. There's like American fast food everywhere. When I was there, there was one McDonald's in the whole country.
I see, that's bonkers. Yeah,
and it's still there.
Didn't say once.
But they had them everywhere, and it's very common for people to eat at them. See, when I was there, there's all these chippers, these fish and chip shops everywhere, and that was basically their fast food. But now it's just very westernized. Yeah, the Western styles, the way they dress and everything. When I was back there in the 70s, I almost felt like I'd gone back in time. Their styles now were older, and their cars were small, and now they're all very much westernized.
You said there's a lot more like bigger buildings now, like, right?
Yeah, like a lot of skyscrapers. Before there were none. In London itself, there was no skyscrapers at all. There, a lot of the same old buildings are still there, but they just built these giant hall, like the Shard.
Yeah.
And there's several other ones. I don't even know what their name. They call them now, but they were not there. The London Eye was not there. And those are like kind of landmarks of the city now.
Yeah, when we see them, they're that. So it seems like they've been there forever, but they weren't there. So, but like Trafalgar Square, that looked the same.
Oh, yeah. Trafalgar was the same. Piccadilly was the same. Yeah. Oxford Street was the same.
Well, that's why I think one thing that's really cool about London is I feel like they've done a pretty good job of still having some of that old timey kind of stuff there, but also having some modern things as well.
Yeah. When we walked through Hyde Park and there, where we stayed there across from Hyde Park, mm-hmm. that's the same as it was. But the cars on the street were what was different because they were bigger and they were more modern and stuff like that. We had a couple of cafes down there that I know I had the traditional English breakfast. So you guys didn't think like probably didn't eat it, but that's what I ate. Beans on toast.
Yeah.
And bacon, the English bacon and eggs, you know.
But I said one of my favorite things about that trip, though, is how we did country kind of England for 4 or 5 days. And then we did London for 4 or 5 days. So it was we really got a mix of both. But one of my favorite stories from it is, so you lived down in like the pool area, right?
Yeah.
Once, and when you were there 40 years ago, they had just built or they were building a brand new church building.
Right.
And you guys were so excited about it. So you wanted to
take us. That was in Canterbury.
Oh, that was over in Canterbury?
Yeah.
So you wanted to take us to it and show us this building. So we were driving around and we finally found it. And we were looking at it, and it's an old building. Like it's not like I think because he kept telling us the story about
the new church.
It was like this, the new church. We built this new church. So I'm kind of envisioning this newer church, but then like I had to remember, like, oh no, this is an old building because it was built 40 years ago.
Yeah, it was in a field, and now there's houses all around it everywhere.
Well, that's it. Even the houses looked old around it too. Like it wasn't like it wasn't this new development. Like they were in like an older area. I felt like.
Yeah, it's grown up a lot. There's more people there on the roads, just around everywhere.
But didn't you stay in one of the houses you stayed in was like 200 years old, right?
One of the places over in Canterbury, it was older than that. It was built in like 1700, right?
Yeah.
It was before the Revolutionary War.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like 300 or 400 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Little teeny doorways and they're kind of slanted and had this huge fireplace almost the size of a wall. And it was old.
Yeah. And like, because if you showered upstairs, but the water kind of got out of the shower a little bit, the floors weren't like sealed together. So the water got through the floors. So we had like clothes drying downstairs that got wet again when you showered on accident.
it was really pretty cool. You walk out the front door and there's a sidewalk and it was probably only less than 3 feet wide. And then the road.
Oh yeah. It was teeny tiny.
Yeah. Because it's that old. Those houses were built when they just had little teeny like horses and carts going through it. And now they have a road there. So you have no yard.
Much different. Yeah. So you guys went in August, right?
Yeah. It was the first of August.
First part of August. Yeah. Yeah. Would you say that's a good time to go? Or is there a better time if you're at the best time?
It wasn't
to go?
Bad. It's a pretty good time, really. This, when we went there a couple of years ago, they were in a drought. That was what was really kind of weird for me because everything was, not everything, but there were a lot of fields that were brown and dried. People's grass, they don't water their lawn there because it rains so much. So a lot of the lawns and the grasses were dead and that before it was just so green. I think the best time to go to England is in June.
That's the best weather time. The
best June through August is great. September, June is not bad. You start getting to October and it starts going to get cold and rainy. But June's beautiful in England. Flowers are everywhere and it's green.
Well, a lot of people go to Europe for Christmas time. Do they do that in London too?
Oh, yeah. That's probably one of the next best times to go to England.
Oh, really?
But you want to go, I don't know, there's lots of, the little towns are awesome because they really decorate them up. You know, they really, Christmas decorations everywhere. And they're little cobblestone streets that are winding and sort of Charles Dickens type stuff. And they still do that a lot. And it's really cool. That'd pretty be cool.
Well, that's, yeah, because so the first place we stayed was clear over Super West.
Right.
Over
in Gloucester.
Tewkesbury or something like that.
Tewkesbury,
yeah. So, and that was like, almost like, looked like, I don't know if they were actually thatched roofs, that was pretty cool to see in like the cobble streets and stuff. You really felt like you were back.
Yeah. You just want to kind of hang out there and just absorb it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was beautiful. It was just so cool. Pretty.
The really old buildings, you can tell which ones are really, really old. And what's crazy is some of those buildings and homes are older than our country is.
Yeah, that's so crazy to think.
Yeah, just the amount of history that's there is crazy.
So you and Tyler took a trip to Alaska a couple years ago that I was pretty jealous of. It
was that your first time to Alaska?
It was my first time to Alaska.
That's, I didn't know if you had done, Mom did a cruise, but you hadn't.
Yeah, I did a cruise at Plus. The first time I've been to Alaska, and I thought it was an awesome trip. We went in the fall time.
Yeah.
And it was really a great time to go, I thought, but the only really problem we had was it's right at the end of the hunting season up there. Yes, so all the hunters were trying to get home.
So a lot of things were closed as far as tourist stuff, yeah. But it was like the trees were changing. It was beautiful. We took off and we drove north one day towards Denali. We didn't get all the way up there, but just the gold fields of trees just were everywhere.
It was beautiful. It was
It was really. We got to a point where we stopped and we could see it. Right, you could see
Denali. Yeah, we see Denali.
Yeah, but that was that was a lot of fun. We went because we're planning on going to Anchorage within a month now, about a month from now, and. You and me went up there, and I remember we were going south at Anchorage, and then you spotted a beluga whale. Remember that?
You guys got to see a whale?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
One of the small white what kind of whales. But it was just right there in the water.
Just right there, by the road.
Oh, pretty. Cool.
And then we stayed a night at, Alyeska? It's a ski resort. Remember that?
Yeah.
And since it was kind of off season, because it wasn't summer and it wasn't ski season yet. It was really nice, and it was pretty affordable. So that was.
Remember, we seen some bald eagles up there too. Then,
oh, did you?
It was beautiful there. Just the ride. If you enjoy riding in the mountains and seeing the scenery like that, it's awesome. Well worth the time to go up there and just go for a ride. That's all we did. Just kind of went and go for a ride for three or four days. And
we went down to Seward, right?
Yeah,
Seward, and then stopped at the glaciers.
It'd be fun to have more time to go there and still be able to take it all in.
Yeah, and I think if you go during the peak or season, they have a lot of, like, you can spend a lot of money doing tours, doing whale tours and glacier tours.
Those kinds of are fun, but it's also fun to go like when we did.
Yeah.
When we're just on our own and just kind of just wander around and just enjoy it and not feel like we're with all the tourists everywhere because we just kind of go at our own pace and go see what we want to see.
Say, well, now stimmy checks are in. Let's do it.
Book it. Yeah, let's go. Coming back from there is one of the memories that is the big, so because we had such a great time, and I think we watched flights, but nothing, it seemed like there was no stress on getting home. And then like the day before, all of a sudden, they just started closing up.
Yeah.
And so we started looking at, our airline flew the nonstop back to Phoenix, but that started filling up. There was just a few seats left. And so we started looking, and I could fly on Alaska for free. We got free passes for them. And we could get a Zed fare for you, but we listed to go Alaska back to Seattle to get home. And we were number like 60 on the list, on their list.
Yeah. Like 60?
Yeah, 60. And everyone is oversold. So we were rolling and rolling. And we started like, what are we going to do? How are we going to get home? And we found out that Alaska had some seats to the next day to Honolulu. So to get home, we were going to go Anchorage to Honolulu, then back to Phoenix to get you home to Salt Lake.
Oh, jeez.
That didn't sound that bad.
When I guess you're that stuck, it doesn't sound that bad. I'm like,
I thought it was kind of funny. You know, we were up in Alaska where it's cold and we're going to go home by way of Honolulu.
Yeah. Well, we have like 6 hours there, I think. So it's like enough time to, you could go to the beach in 6 hours. You've done trips to Hawaii.
Yeah.
With just about 6 hours, right? 8 hours.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't have anything to go to the beach in. We'd have...
Have our winter clothes.
Yeah, and winter clothes.
You have to find one of those special beaches.
And we got lucky because one of the gate agents that was working kind of up there, they do all the different airlines, and he said, there's some seats on this Continental flight going to Seattle. Get on that flight. And so we got the tickets and got on and got out. But
oh, that was nice of them.
But we were set. We had already paid for the Zed fare to Honolulu. Like that's what we're doing the next day. But it was crazy how that trip went from just like no stress, just enjoying Alaska to such a switch of this.
Let's fly to Honolulu next week. Because how long would that have been? Like, that's got to be at least like a 6 hour flight, right?
Yeah, it's probably at least 6 hours. And then another 6 hours red eye through the night back to Phoenix.
To Phoenix. Oh my gosh. I mean, it would have been quite a story if you actually had to do it, but dang.
So a couple of years ago, you and Mom did a Costa Rica trip, but I'd have been there once. But why don't you tell us a few things that you did that you would recommend doing there? Because I know Monique has never been, right?
No, yeah, I've never been to Costa Rica. I would like to go because I love the beach, but it's not necessarily.
It's just not beaches there. Beaches are great.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more there. Costa Rica is a beautiful country.
But the beaches are great though. But,
they are.
But there's a whole other side to the where right. We go to Hawaii a lot. We talk about Hawaii on every show. And there is some like stuff to do as far as outdoors kind of stuff, but not quite like Costa Rica.
Yeah. Costa Rica, it's just, I can tell you what our trip was like. The first day we got in there, when we were in we stayed the night there, right there in San Jose, and we flew into there, and then we stayed the night there. Then we got a car. Cars are expensive there to rent, though, because you got to pay, you got to buy their insurance there.
Yeah, that's what we
realized. International, yes,
yeah, yeah. Right? It is like the insurance costs more than the car itself. And then we were going up to some, I don't know, some kind of preserve or botanical garden with no road signs. There's very little road signs in Costa Rica. And our GPS wasn't really calibrated right, and so we were kind of like wandering around, but we drove straight to it.
Oh, did you? So you did find it pretty easy then?
Oh, yeah. We didn't know where we were going, but we ended up there.
Yeah, I felt the same thing on my trip. Like, we got everywhere we needed to go, but you were always like, we're either in the wrong place or we're right on track, and you never knew.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, you go, oh, there it is. Like, we're here. But it's always like, you're driving for miles going, is this right? There's no signs.
Yeah, there's no, very few road signs to tell you where you're at or where you're going.
Are there just few roads? So it's like, they just figure you can't get too lost?
There might be something to that.
Okay. That's, I don't know either, but that's, no, and I noticed that too. So that same.
And we stayed down in, I think it's called Capos. And it was, we rented a little, it's a small, they call it a chalet, but it was like one bedroom place. It's all made out of teak wood. Was really, really pretty cool.
Oh, pretty.
And had a metal roof on it, and we'd hear monkeys crawling around on top of it at night. So it was right up in the jungle.
Was that creepy, though?
Until we realized that there were just these little monkeys crawling around.
Okay.
Because you went, okay, who's bound on the ceiling?
Yeah.
But it was just cool because we're up in the jungle. The birds at sun up and at sundown just went crazy. They're just really loud, just squawking and doing all their calls and everything. But that was really cool to be right up in there. You could barely see other places around you.
So did you feel like you were in a treehouse, kind of?
We just felt like you're in the jungle.
Just in the jungle.
Yeah. So that was, it was really pretty cool place. We stayed there. Then we went on down to Manuel Antonio. That's where they have the national park and their beaches. And that was really cool. They only let so many people in because it's small.
Oh,
so
I
you had
that.
To be there early. And so you had to park outside, then you walk in. So it's not huge. On our way out, we took another trail just to kind of wander around to see what's going on there. And we came across, like, there was about 30 howler monkeys.
30?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Wow.
Crawling across the trees above us. And we just stood there and watched them. They had mothers with their little babies on their back. And,
aww.
And there was just, it was really pretty cool. We just sat and watched those for a while. But down at the beach, there's other monkeys, the little white-faced ones that would come and steal your food.
Oh, really?
So you had to have everything right by you, or else I'd sneak up behind you and grab them.
Did you pay to do the tour? Does they offer, like, you could pay $10 and they do, like, through a walking tour to get back to the beach?
No, it's just a big trail.
Okay.
We you had to pay to get in. I think it was like $10 or so to get into it.
We'd heard that you don't pay for the tours. You just kind of like, there's so many of them. You just kind of stop and they're pointing out things.
Yeah, you could do that.
So that's kind of, we didn't like stick with one. Just as we were walking in, you could kind of see all the different.
And those are kind of good to do because you stay at those. Because they'll have sloths up in the tree and macaws and stuff like that, that you may not see them.
Yeah.
And those guys are really good at spotting them and knowing where. So they're probably because they just hang out in the same sloths, hang out in the same trees every
same
day.
Place, yeah.
And so they know which trees to look in.
A sloth would be cool to see. What was the other thing you said?
Macaws.
What's a macaw?
A bird.
Oh.
With a big beak.
Oh, like a toucan kind of?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we had those down there. It was really pretty cool, though. I'd go back there at all. There were some restaurants right down there by Manuel Antonio that we ate at that was amazing. Just some fresh seafood, and we love seafood. So, in fact, we had to go down. We had one meal there one day that was so good, your mom made us go back and eat there again the next day.
It sounds like her.
Yeah, it does.
But it was really good. It was well worth it to go eat there.
Did you eat the place or see the place that was, it's an airplane?
Yeah, we ate there one night.
That was kind of, I watched the Super Bowl. My team lost the Super Bowl as I was sitting in there.
So wait, what was this?
It's an airplane, like on the side of a hill, looks out over the ocean. It's really pretty cool.
Like a big old airplane that crashed there or something. They made it into a restaurant.
Yeah, but it turned into a restaurant, but I'm sure it's safe, but it's a restaurant inside there, but it looks over the water because it's
up. But you like go in the plane to eat?
Yeah, there's like the seating inside.
Oh, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, it is kind of cool.
It's a really cool place to go. I'd go down there again. It's one of the major tourist areas of Costa Rica. But it's well worth the time to go down there.
Dude, so you guys, what else? You did rafting, right? Was that?
We did a guided tour. I was on the other side of the country, over on the Caribbean side, where we did a rafting, whitewater rafting.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't very whitewater, though, because it was right at the end of their the dry season. And so the river is down pretty low. But it was cool because you're going through the jungle. It's a river going through the jungle.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It would just kind of be pretty, yeah.
Yeah, it was just kind of pretty. The water wasn't really big and heavy. In fact, if several places you'd be going around, it would be so shallow you'd hit your bottom on the rocks. Oh.
So you were asking for a little more white water.
Yeah, a little more water would be nice.
Did you feel like you packed too much stuff? That's a lot of stuff. And was it a week time?
Yeah, it was just over a week. I think we were there. We went over spring break. So okay. It was this time of year. I don't know. We were busy, but that's the kind of place you want to be busy at because you want to see and take in everything you can. You know, we spent one day, just maybe 2 days, two half days, just relaxing on their beaches there. because that was they're really nice beaches.
Yeah,
well worth the time to go there. But we also said, you know, we want to see this country too. We want to experience it. We did a zip line there.
Oh, those are fun.
That was fun going to the zip line through the jungle too.
I see. I've never done a zip line.
That was cool there. Yeah, that was a fun thing to do.
So you went in spring break, so March, April. Was that good weather? Because I went in February and it was great weather.
It was good weather there, but it was right at the end of their main tourist season, and so it was kind of drier, which, you know, I guess I'd rather be there dry than when it rains.
Well, I think in the summer it's supposed to get rainy.
That's what they say. It starts to get rainy in the summer to the end of the fall.
Two of my brother-in-laws are going this summer, and Katie said, we should go, and I heard you, well, I want to go, and I said, not then. Like, let them go. Let's go, and it's... Because our airline flies down there in the winter. That's their peak season, you know, into like now.
We want to go down. Next time we go, we want to go up to the volcanoes, though.
That's what I'd say, the volcano for a couple of days.
We didn't go to the volcano.
See, maybe because of the volcanoes I've seen are in Hawaii and they're boring.
Well, but
are these cooler?
Yeah. And it's not just the volcanoes. It's everything they have up there. They have lakes and hot pots and swimming places. And
oh, okay. That sounds cooler.
So it's not just
like seeing like a dormant or like a barely smoking hill. Yeah, it's not like that. Okay.
In fact, I don't know if they're even all that active. Some of them have gone off, I guess, fairly recent, but it looks really pretty cool up there.
Yeah, it looks like a big volcano. The ones you see in Hawaii are just like big mountains.
Yeah.
But these, it looks like a volcano. And the one I went to, I think it's called Arnold, but there's a place you can go to. They have, it's like a resort, and they have the hot pots that are turned like natural, but it's like an actual swimming pool hot springs, and the higher you go up, the hotter it gets.
Oh,
and they got water slides. It was really fun. So
interesting.
Yeah, you think you'd like it.
That's what we did, 3 days there and 3 days down in Manuel Antonio, where we were, and we had a great time.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if it's really a regret. I wish we had more time to do that.
That's why I had a friend that, and I think she spent 3 weeks in Costa Rica seeing everything, and sounds like what you may need. Because we didn't do the other coast like you guys did.
Yeah, and we just really went over seeing the river over there and didn't know the river one day. I'd like to go spend more time even up north end of more. I've seen some videos and people that go up that way, and it just looks beautiful.
Even the cultures are different, I think, because on the Pacific coast, it's kind of the like Spanish, and on the other one, it's like more Caribbean kind of a feel to the culture and the people.
Oh, interesting.
And it's not very far away. It's not like, you know,
an hour or two drive.
Yeah, but it's still like coast to coast is kind of a different in the same country.
So real quick, should we take it back to the England trip real quick and let you, because I had a friend who wanted to hear your point of view on the car rental story in England. Is there anything you wanted to add to that story, just about how we had to get full coverage?
Oh yeah, that was a no-brainer to get going there, because I knew it'd be kind of challenging to drive over there, especially when they upgraded us to that larger Mercedes.
Was that a free upgrade, or did they kind of force that upgrade on you?
No, like it was free, because they didn't have the car we wanted.
Oh, so do you regret it then, or that wasn't an option?
No, I don't want it, because I would have had full coverage on whatever okay. I rented, so I might as well have something nice to rent. The car was really nice.
It was really nice.
Their parking over there is just not designed for big cars. And it wasn't a huge car. This is like a midsize, but their parking over there, they're designed for like Mini Coopers.
You have to wonder if having those cars then, having foreigners come in, they kind of like almost have to think that's going to happen. Think that they're
just had a few little scratches and dents and popped a hole in a tire.
Well, that's it. Just to be clear, so I was the guide, right? So I sat up front and told you where to go. But it was not the guide's fault for sending you into that teeny tiny parking garage.
No, you told us to go in there. There's a parking spot in there. But it's not your fault that the parking was so lousy, because it was so small.
As soon as we got in it, we were like, oh, crap.
Yeah, we're not going to find a place in there, but we tried forcing it to places we shouldn't have gone.
Even like just making turns in it was almost...
Yeah, just to turn in a corner, just to turn and go the other direction. It's just like...
Yeah, it wasn't even parking, I think, when we've got
there. Yeah, it's probably stupid to even try parking in there. But there's no parking in that country anywhere.
No. What I felt bad is that we didn't get to see more of Cardiff.
Right, because we ended up sitting there getting that car tire fixed up for like 2 hours or something.
Because a little bit we walked around while you were waiting for the guy to come fix the tire. It was a cute little town. Like, it looked like Cardiff would have been really fun to go see.
So I really want to go see that Cardiff Castle.
Yeah, and it was like closing within an hour or something like that. So we just didn't even get time to go over to the castle. Well, and that's what I thought. It would have been kind of fun to see some of like the buildings with the big old Welsh names that are just huge. 30 characters long.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's your alphabet.
I would have liked to spend a lot more time in Wales.
Well, and do you remember when we were driving down the hill to kind of head over that way? Like, it was one of the prettiest views I thought we had in all of England. Like, it was beautiful.
That part of England is beautiful, though. Gloucester are going over into Wales.
Well, do you remember when we were sitting over in that first place we stayed, you were reading about that area and you said that like Charles or and have property over there.
Prince Charles has a big estate over there.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool that we were pretty close to.
He spends most of his time over there.
I get it. It's beautiful.
In fact, just recently in the news, they said he left there to go see his dad in the hospital.
Oh, he left from over where kind of where we were at?
Yeah. It's like a big country estate. I don't remember the name.
So I think you guys did, because you did two parts of the trip. And part of the trip, you had the car because it was going to be so. Because the other way, you could probably get around to those places with buses and train. But was that, I mean, it's going to be so much more time consuming that it makes sense to rent the car.
Out in the country, I'd definitely say rent the car, because you're on your own time frame. You can come and go when you want to go, where you want to go. And if you're on buses, you can get there, but it just, you're then dependent upon their bus schedule. And the bus schedules are really good and they go frequently, but it's just so much more convenient to hop in the car and go.
Yeah.
Driving over there, a lot of people are kind of freaked out because the driver has a right-hand steer and you're on the left-hand side of the road. That's not that big a deal. You get used to that pretty quick. It's just find a place to park the things.
So in London, it'd be even worse. So it makes sense to turn it in and go to the...
Yeah. We rented the car at Heathrow and turned it in at Gatwick and took the train in from there.
Was that expensive to do that? Because sometimes when you're in one place...
It was the same price I looked at.
Oh, really?
If we would turn back into Heathrow or that, they took either place.
Oh, good.
When the car rental made sense to us as well, because we spent a whole day. So we've got like our ancestors, like 6-7 generations back, lived over on that side of England. So we did some family history searching, looking for headstones and stuff like that. So it made sense to have the car because we went from like little town to little town. Right. We went to like every little cemetery there was around there looking for old like crook headstones and stuff. So
yeah, we found one.
Yeah, and we did, but it was nice to have the car so we could...
Could go for... Yeah.
Like the bus schedule, you couldn't
do that. You couldn't do that on a bus.
No.
Yeah. So no, to go hit the little towns, if you want to see the old England, you probably want a car. But when you go into a city like London, I'd rather not drive there.
Well, and that's what Mom talked about the few times, or like a few mishaps on the tube and stuff. But other than that, it was pretty easy to use.
It was faster too.
Yeah.
You can you walk 3 or 4 blocks, you're on a tube, and you can pop up other side of London in 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So no, the tubes are really good there. You definitely want to know the tube schedules. Not so much the time, because they come like every 5 minutes. But you want to know, take this tube over to here and over that one. And
it is, or really, if I walk a block up this around the way, I can get one that's even quicker to go
right
to where I want to go.
So the advice I say, if you're going to go there, know the tubes, the plan of them, and get a pass and just go.
Well, that's perfect because usually we like to give tips at the end. So that's a great tip, is kind of learn. And I feel like a few times I've been to England, you can learn those. I mean, they have apps to learn, and they've got maps everywhere, but they're pretty easy. But
the apps and maps are really pretty good there, and they have them everywhere. When we pulled into, we turned the car in at Gatwick, and then we took the train up to Waterloo train station, and there's some booths right there where you can buy your passes. And you just go in there, and you tell them, this is kind of where we're going to go, this is how long we're going to be here. They say, okay, well, you want this particular pass then. Because the passes go by how far out of London you're going to go travel.
Oh, yeah.
The different zones.
Different zones they have, yeah. So if you're going to stay right in the heart of London, you want a certain pass. If you're going to go out a little bit, you want a different one. It may cost you a little bit more, but then you don't have to worry about paying and buying a ticket every time you go get on a tube. You just...
Well, I think, the only one we really, about like leaving a zone, I don't even know if it left the zone, was going out to Windsor.
Yeah, we did
use the train to go out to Windsor, but...
Yeah, I think
it was slick getting out there. It was really easy.
Yeah, you just hop a train and go right to Windsor.
Yeah, and it literally like drops you off. Like right next to the...
Within walking distance of the castle.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of England is, though. You can get a train to most any of the major cities, to the major part of it. And if not, there'll be a bus from there. Lots of buses from the train stations to wherever you want to go. You can get around really well on their trains.
I thought so, too. That's it. Because even... We were talking about Christmas in England. Like, I thought going down to Canterbury, because Canterbury was beautiful. I think Christmas there would be so cool. I was looking at trying to take a train down there and then kind of getting around...
Yeah,
I don't want to drive down there. You were great at driving. I would not be. But taking a train down.
Well, you could hop on a train in London and get to Canterbury in probably 45 minutes.
See, that'd be awesome to get down there and see Christmas.
Drop you off right really close to downtown.
Kind of along with your, from what I've experienced when I did London, because I'm not sure if you guys did this, we got the hop on, hop off bus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was good to see, because the problem with the tube is you don't get to see things. You don't get to see the city.
Right.
So you did that for a day. So you can kind of see up. Being up top there was really pretty cool. Even if you didn't get off, we did get off, but we could just see. But then once you kind of have seen everything, then you could take the subways to each stop, right to it. We can go straight to the Eye or the bridge or whatever you wanted to see.
We did that hop on, hop off. I just think it's worth it.
Yeah, I think so too.
I would do that because, like you said, we got on the upper deck up there and you could go and see everywhere. You can see all these places. I remember we drove down past Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. Would have been cool if we had time to go there. and another little theater there that plays the play Mousetrap that Agatha Christie play. It's been playing there for like 60 years.
Oh, wow.
See, that's I mean, I went there like 40 years ago to that play. And that was really pretty cool. But you get to go see all these different parts of it that, you know, you're just not sure where it's at.
Yeah.
And you go to the old part of London over there by St. Paul's and, you know, yeah, the hop on, hop off. I'll definitely do that again.
Or the other one I would have is take Pan Am in the 70s because you can have lay flat roads.
For the same price, isn't it? Was it along lines of like the hop on, hop off? I don't know if I said it, but in London, we had a few of them that were had the live tour guide.
Yeah.
And it made it 100 times better.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, they're interesting when you can kind of listen to the radio one or whatever, where they give their little facts. Yeah. But when you actually get someone on there and they have their little personality, like there was one guy, he was cracking us up. He was talking about how he wants for the queen to either die or pass the throne on to Charles. So they have to make new money for Charles. And then he's like, then he can just like step down for like after he's been the king for a week or something like that. He's like, and then William to do it for a week and then do it to George. So they have to make money for every single king. As we were laughing, we're like, that is kind of a funny idea that they just bring a different personality and it's fun to hear when there's a live.
The British humor is really unique and you get those guys going and they'll tell stories and they're really pretty funny.
Well, they've got kind of a drier sense of humor. Oh, too. Yeah. It's
very dry and sarcastic. And they make fun of themselves really well. Didn't like making fun of the queen, though.
We should never make fun of the queen. As people have mentioned, yeah, I love the royal family. So, yeah, we don't make fun of the queen.
You can make fun of the royal family, but not the queen.
But, you know, I feel like it's even older generations feel that way. Like the older
probably. I'm sure the old ones do, but the young people, they don't have no respect for anybody.
Yeah, that's true. Well, my tip would be take your dad with you to London or international, then he can drive your car for you.
It's really not that bad driving in England. Out in the country, you just go with the flow.
But it's also, we knew that mom had to sit in the back seat.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was one that, even before we got there, you were like, okay, you'll be up front. You'll do GPS. You'll tell me where to go. Mom, in the back seat. If we're lucky, we'll give her blindfolds and maybe a Valium.
She did really pretty good, though.
Overall, I think she...
Yeah, she didn't really stress out at all.
Did you drive there 40 years ago?
A little bit.
Okay, so I didn't know if you would. Because you also probably drove in St. John's, and right? Yeah. They're on the other side of the road.
But they have a left-hand steer, too. This steering wheel's on the right. What's odd when you do the right-hand steer, if you have a manual transmission? Because then you're shifting with your left hand.
You're not used to that.
Yeah, that was weird when I did that. But this car we had was automatic, so it was easy.
Just because I don't drive stick, but just like because muscle memory,
yeah,
is weird doing it. Yeah, with the other.
You do it backwards kind of thing. This it really isn't that bad. I took right back to it really quickly than I thought I would. Within like just a few minutes, it was felt like normal.
Well, thank you for being with us. This was good.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. That was fun.
You did good. So I know you were super excited, but you traveled with. We did talk about the. Your trip to China,
you need to get back. We need, I'll go with you.
China's another place I'd like to go more to. China's an amazing country.
So where did you stay then?
In a city called Changshu.
Changshu, and that's by Shanghai then?
Yeah, it's outside of Shanghai always. And taught school over there in the summertime for like 3-4 weeks.
So that's kind of a cool experience to
get. It was very unique. I'd definitely like to go there. We spent most of our time teaching kids. We had a couple of days free. We'd go and they take us on tour. They took it into Shanghai and kind of like, they'd always have to go in and order your food for you because you have no idea what you're ordering.
I could see that.
Yeah, really. We went to this one place. It was like, it looked like a school cafeteria type thing, but it was like right in the heart of Shanghai. Big long tables. And they told us, you guys just sit here. And they went up and ordered all the food and brought it out to us. And it was like, I still don't know what we ate.
was it good though?
Most of it was pretty good, but it was kind of like, it's different. Like sea jellies and chicken heads. And
you're used to more Americanized Chinese food.
Yeah. What's
it? Stuff with meat on it. That doesn't sound like stuff that's, yeah.
Yeah. The American Chinese food you have here is not real Chinese food.
Oh.
It's not. I don't care what
you're Panda Express.
Yeah, Panda Express is nothing like it. But they had a lot of fresh vegetables that were really good.
Did you do dumplings?
Yeah. Dumplings are good.
My friend Molly, when she lived over in China, she came back just raving about their dumplings.
Dumplings are killer, yeah. They're really good. They just have a lot of, the whole culture is just, I felt like I was in another world.
I bet.
We landed in Shanghai at like 11 o'clock at night, and they put us on a bus and take us out to Changshu, which is another hour drive or so. We're driving out the freeway, and they had these little old people out there in orange suits sweeping the freeways with like these willow brooms.
What? The freeways?
Yeah. That's how they keep the freeways clean.
Old people working on them, dang.
See, I'd like to go see the Warriors.
See, yeah, those would be cool.
That'd be pretty cool. That's a long ways away from where I was, though. And I'd like to go see the Great Wall. And just to take in more of their culture, because it's really a different, it's another world over there. The kids are the same, though. It's crazy. That's one thing I tell everybody. They ask what it's like. Well, I taught mostly junior high age kids there, and they're just like American kids.
But didn't you say that, so they got to pick like American names?
Yeah.
Didn't some of them want to be named Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah. Some were called Harry Potter. I had several Harry Potters in class and several Michael Jordans. And they were more westernized there than I thought they would be. They knew all the American heroes and the athletes.
Kind
and
of the pop culture.
Oh, yeah. Probably better than I did.
That's not too hard, though. Yeah.
But they acted just like the other kids. Just, you know, it was a great experience.
Asia is kind of scary to us, the language barriers, but the things we want to go.
Yeah, but that's you sit and talk about, you hear stories like this, and the places that you can go see over there, you're like, oh, yeah, I do want to see that.
Yeah,
you want to go there. If you want to see places in the world, that's a very unique place you want to go see.
All right, well, thank you for being on.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was really fun. Thanks, Dad.
So when are we going on our next trip?
Well, apparently you're going to Puerto Vallarta, so.
And I'll think about you there, too.
Yeah, really.
This is not going to be a family trip.
Mm-hmm. I know. So when you guys are there, you guys can plan, sit down, have your little planning meeting.
For what?
For our big family trip that we're all taking to Hawaii with all the grandkids.
I'm okay without grandkids, but.
Just adults.
All right. Thanks for coming on, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. Thanks for joining Tyler and Monique. You can find them on Instagram and Twitter by searching Non-Rev Lounge. Also, you can contact them at nonrevloungepodcast@gmail.com. They would love to hear from you. They are always looking for ideas to make their show better. If you are enjoying the show, please think about leaving a review or rating so other people can find this show. Thanks for joining us. See you next week and safe travels.